Okay, so the title, as was mentioned, is characteristic classes from Lie algebraic cohomology. And basically what I will try to do today is explain a construction, or rather our understanding of a construction due to Kantsevich of, well, characteristic classes from Lie algebraic cohomology classes. And when using this method, one of the hard parts is actually computing the Lie algebraic cohomology. And this is not something I will dwell on much for today because, well, I don't think there is time. But I will mention it in some very specific, very simple cases where they give you some, they usually give you the classes you already knew about. And really, the talk should be viewed as an advertisement for computation of Lie algebraic cohomology, especially of Lie algebras that have something to do with geometry. And sometimes people like to sit down and compute Lie algebraic cohomology, but they don't necessarily like to talk about it because it's generally a big mess. And this construction is not, and so I chose to speak more about this rather than the dirty details of Lie algebraic cohomology computations. But there will be a little bit of that too, but in easy cases. So this is based on joint work with Yang Feng. So this is the setup. It's very general. You have your space X, and the P is the principal G bundle with subgroup H, and of course, it's a natural question to ask: what do I mean by space? I could mean something like smooth or holomorphic. It depends on the situation, or Kähler, perhaps even algebraic if you want. And what kind of G am I considering? So this is very rarely anything small. Usually it's very large. And often with a formal component. I wouldn't even call it the Lie group. One example, it will be a Lie group. The rest, no. You will see. And some more notation, well, some more ingredients, rather. We have M, a GH module. So this is, of course, the Lie algebra of the big G, and this is a vector space on which the Lie algebra acts in such a way that this there is a corresponding sub-Lie algebra. Its action integrates to the action of the group H itself. So it's actually an H module, as usual, plus a little bit more. Okay. So now once we have all that, what we're looking for is the following. So first I will write it down, and then I will explain. I will spend some time explaining. We want a map from, this is the Lie algebraic cohomology we're interested in, it's relative, to again, I won't go into too much detail at the moment, but a bit more later, this is a Lie algebra cohomology. This thing is kind of like the Ram cohomology along some parts and Schiff cohomology along other parts. Again, will be explained shortly. This is the relative Ram complex. You have the bundle P here. You can mod it out by H, and now you have a smaller thing over X. And so along the fibers of that projection, you have the Ram complex of this thing. What is that? That is, so M was a vector space. This thing is just, is a sheaf. So two things. First of all, you need to know what this means. And also, you need to be aware of my tendency to confuse the sections of a total space, which is a sheaf, with the total space itself. So I would make no difference. For example, this is really a sheaf. Furthermore, it has connections along fibers of a certain map, and yet I'm writing it like this, where it looks like it's a space. So I'm confusing the two. And what this means is, I don't know how familiar you are with this notation. In certain circles, it's very standard, but I would say it's X, M's modulo the relationship that X, H, M is X, H, M. It's a standard way to replace the fibers. So here you have H acting on P from the right, and also H acts on M from the left. And what you do is you kind of twist up M to form a vector bundle on, where is this thing on? P mod H. What do you mean? So all the fibers have, well, you mean, okay, because this is not really a group, that's your problem. No. So I'm going to pretend it is a group, and therefore I'm going to pretend it's a finite dimensional Lie group, and therefore you all know what the principle thing means. Of course it is not, but the map, you will see, in good cases, all the mess in the middle disappears, and there is no evidence of it on the left or on the right, and so it is as if it never happened. So let's start explaining. So the relationship between Lie algebra cohomology and the Ram cohomology is well understood. The simplest example is that if you have a group G, then consider the sheaf of vector fields on G. Then it's a group, right? So the action of G on itself trivializes the vector bundle, and it's the same thing as just this, where the tensor is, even though I said smooth or holomorphic or Kähler, I will write C, but it could be R if we are in that situation. So these are both sheaves on G, right? These are functions. And I've tensored them with the Lie algebra because, of course, it's all trivialized and at identity. If you want, by definition, the tangent space is the Lie algebra. And they're identified, and furthermore, what happens is that, well, you dualize, first of all, and then you take wedges, and you have an identification between these forms on G and wedges of these things. And now this is not just an identification of graded vector space, well, graded sheaves. This is an identification of complexes. Because this thing, well, it's the Durham complex. You know there is a Durham differential. Here, this is a Lie algebra, the Lie algebra cohomology with coefficients in this module. Okay? So this is viewed as a module over little g. Because, of course, it is. You can differentiate functions with respect to elements of G, because G things here correspond to vector fields on G. And you can differentiate functions with respect to vector fields. So it's a module. So you can write down its Lie algebra complex. And there is an identification. They're the same. So in the case, for example, that G is affine, or, well, it depends. Now I'm pretending we're maybe in a setting where that sort of thing matters, or smooth where it doesn't. You see, so this is kind of bad. I don't mean the same thing. I would mean, if I was in an algebraic setting, this has a meaning too. But I mean, if we're either in an algebraic type of setting and we're affine, or we're in a smooth setting, then the Durham cohomology, well, rather, because we know what the Durham cohomology of this thing is. It's just cohomology of G, right? Is equal to the Lie algebra cohomology with coefficients in this thing. But we have to take global sections so that we're completely honest, because these are sheaves and these are vector spaces. Sorry? The forms are different in each case. Yes, yes. In the smooth case, you take the usual smooth forms, and the holomorphic case, you would take the holomorphic forms. And then you need the R-gamma, because then it's not necessarily affine. But if it is, and you're not doing that here, so here, that's where you need the affine. You want to just take gamma and forget about R-gamma. So that's why you need that. Right. So one step away from here is let's play with that. Well, I hope that explanation there is somehow making you quickly familiar with this construction, because it's going to be used over and over. Suppose you have, instead of G, remember, you consider vector fields on G. Suppose you consider vector fields in G mod H, where H is some subgroup. Well, then, what is this? Well, we're going to guess that it is this because, well, they are the same size, for one. But notice the following. Well, assume that this is true. And again, assume that I am abusing notation where this is a sheaf. And I'm considering actually global, I'm considering sections of this over this. Then, again, you dualize everything and you start comparing the complex with what? What is this thing here? Okay. Right? Now if I identify these two, I identify these two also. But so far only as graded sheaves. But here's an interesting thing. This has a differential, being a Durham complex of some space. And this one, well, doesn't have an obvious differential, actually. Because, well, if this thing had a differential, then once you do this twisting up business, and assuming a differential would be compatible with the action of H, then it would also have a differential. But it doesn't. However, there is a map from here into there. Whenever you have an H invariant vector in here, it actually makes sense as a global section of this sheaf. And this thing does have a differential. In fact, this is the relative Lie algebra cohomology. Again, we're pretending we're always over C, but it could be R. Sorry, say again?
So, replace C by OG.
Uh-huh.
Wouldn't we get the whole C?
Well, no, because then somehow you're not doing this. No, because this is it doesn't live on G, it lives on G mod H. The whole difficulty is before we had this trivial product, right? Over here, we had a trivial product. There was nothing. I didn't need that. I just had this identification, and everything had differential already. I didn't have to worry about anything. And here I do. Here, this is not just this times this. It's twisted up by this. And so I have to be careful. I have to take the H invariant ones. But fortunately, this has a differential, and this has a differential. So now, of course, you would say that they're compatible. But because I never said what a differential is, oh, and I wrote too low. Nobody mentioned anything. Probably a bad sign. Right. So, since I never define differential, I don't have to show that everything's compatible with differentials, but they are. No. Where? Yes. And there is no O of G anywhere. I'm comparing it with the Durham complex. Yeah, but you know how it is. Sometimes you take the global section, sometimes you forget. But also, another thing is that it's correct. It's exactly you would get this formula from there. Oh, I mean, you don't get C. That's because I can't. You're right. I can't. I have to take. You see, I have to take the invariant ones because, in general, when there is no H, the whole thing has a differential. But when there is an H, all I have a differential is this thing, right? So I did replace that by this, and that is different from that case. So you're right, you only get the invariant ones, which are constants, as opposed to all of them.
Is what happens that if you take that formula, the parts which are not, these have to coincide when they have to get the same answer at the end.
No, this is an equality, and I never said anything but equality there. Yeah, there is a math. That's the math over there that I'm trying to construct in a roundabout way. It's a math. There's no identification. All right, so let's hurry up and finish it then. By now, you might have guessed what complex that. The complex that computes that thing on the left, the relative algebra. Is this. That. So when there was no M, it was just the invariance over there. But when there is an M, and you need to take these H invariants, and otherwise it doesn't have a differential. It is a subcomplex of the usual one without the H here, which has a differential. But it's not closed under the differential unless you take these things. So you go from here, and as we mentioned over there, we map it into, except instead of G, we have P. Okay, and now we just figure out what is going on here, as I've already mentioned. Okay, so these things, they split into a product, right? Whenever you have a tensor product here and a tensor product is over C, it turns into a sheaf, a tensor product. Over functions on our P modded out by H with M, by definition. By definition, M twisted up in this way, like that, is what I call M tilde. And the claim is, the claim I've already made, is that this is a Durham complex of P mod H over X. You see, this is only happening along the fibers, not along the base, so it's a relative Durham complex. So you know about forms, right? The number of forms all along the fibers. So this is what this is. These are forms on this total space over this space, which are only forms along the fibers. So then all we need to do is follow this up by, well, again, we need to observe that this is compatible with the differential, and we need to follow this up by our gamma. Sorry? Oh, too low. Nobody said anything about this. And so just follow it up by our gamma. So that's the map I promised over there. Like, again, notation, kind of unfortunate. So now that you have the map, you don't really, the map over there is all nice and good, but it has this remnant of P. We don't want P around anymore. The way characteristic classes work, they usually have something to do only with X and nothing with P. P is important for the construction of the map, but it should not be present after you're done. So some observations then. The best case is when this is contractible. Because when this is contractible, then remember the fibers of those, you're computing the Durham complex of something along the fibers, and if the fibers are contractible, then this is good, as long as, of course, the something you're computing is itself trivial. Yes, yes. So for that, you need, of course, and G acts on M, right? So remember, before we assumed that only the Lie algebra acts on M, and only this part integrates. But if we furthermore assume that the whole thing integrates, then what happens is that M tilde is also trivial along the fibers. And the fibers are contractible, therefore the Durham complex is just going to, well, disappear along the fibers. And what will you have? You will have a map from to Now this thing will not be so sophisticated anymore. It will just be the Shifka homology of X with coefficients. Well, I shouldn't call it M tilde anymore, because M tilde was only partially twisted up. Now we want to do it completely. Okay, so and this is a good case, because here, especially when M has some natural meaning in our case, then there will be nothing on this side that has anything to do with anything other than X. Okay, it will be all X dependent, and so you will get some sort of a map from Lie algebraic homology to Shifka homology of X with some coefficients which are natural. And for this, of course, you're better be in a holomorphic setting or something like that, otherwise you're not going to get anything. So it would be nice to have X holomorphic here, because otherwise, well, Shifka homology won't be very interesting. Oh, again too low? Or the angle, no, too low. You see, but he doesn't care. No. Move it up. So maybe I'll leave this on for now. Leave the other board. Now what? Now, if, so this is part two, P itself has flat connection. Then so does M tilde. And in fact, this map we had over there, what does it mean to have a flat connection? It means this relative Durham complex will actually map into the full Durham complex. That's one of the consequences of flat connection. Okay, to the now the Durham cohomology of this thing with coefficients in M tilde. So now everything, we don't have to mess around anymore with connection only along the fibers and then followed up by Shifka homology. We can just take a full Durham complex. And we have this map. This is better because, well, because this makes sense even in the real case. Now this is Durham cohomology, not Shifka cohomology, and it's non-trivial even for some things in the smooth case. In particular, of course, it is very nice when we either have a section of this, and for example, if M is C, then this won't be much, it will be just function. So this will be just cohomology of this thing. And if the fibers are contractible, or you have a section of this bundle, then what happens? What happens is that the Durham cohomology of X. So if, again, let's assume that G mod H is contractible, and G acts on M, then we get this, the same thing we had over here, except instead of just Shifko homology, we have Diran here. So then, let's continue over there. Map from oh, because that's better, it has more stuff. You're right. Need H because there's no H here. In fact, we're glad to have gotten rid of it. The point is to get something in X and something sitting on top of it, which hopefully has a lot to do with X also. But on this side, we want the algebraic homology, and it varies what you get on this side. And the more complicated it is, the better, because you will hopefully get more and more stuff in here. Unfortunately, we won't really be able to. Well, let's do examples. Over X. Complex vector bundle with flat connection. Then remember,